Amen. Well, we're going to continue with our series, Go Into Your World. Notice it says your world, not the world. Why do you think we did that? Because the world's really big. It's really, really big. Your world is what? Itty bitty. Small. The world's intimidating. Your world is doable. You can go into your world. And that's why we set it that way. Because we want your world to be impacted. And the thing that is powerful is I may never get the opportunity to go into your world. I may never get to go into the places that you get to go into. Some of you may need security clearances to go into the world that you get to go into. Some of you may need degrees that I don't have. Never want to get. Never going to get. Never going to get it. Never going to get it. Come on. That song didn't come out in the first. Just saying. That was extra. I could have kept going too. There's some notes in that song that I believe I could hit this morning. I'm fired up. We want you to go into your world. That's what today's message is all about. That we can look for people along the way that are far from Jesus. You may be one of those people today. Welcome to my world. You're here today. And I got your attention for the next 40 minutes. Look for opportunities that God gives you along the way to share the gospel. I have an opportunity today, and I believe God's going to allow me to seize it. And I don't look at that lightly. I'm going to leave everything on the field today to share the gospel with you. If you feel like you're far from God today, I'm going to leave it all on the field. I believe that God's going to use this moment. I believe that God's going to use us to share the gospel. When you go outside of these walls today, I don't know where you're going to go. Maybe you're going to go to lunch. Maybe you're going to go grocery shopping. Maybe you're going to go and believe that the Steelers may. Listen, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. We're going to have a rebuilding year or two. The Browns have been rebuilding since the Browns came back to Cleveland. I'm okay with a rebuilding year. Anyways, I want you to go outside these walls today and share the good news. That's what I want you to get from today's message. I believe you're going to get it. Believe you're going to get it. Pastor Rick shared a story last week about he and I in Aldi. Sorry, some of you don't know what that Aldi's. If you're from Pittsburgh, you got to pluralize everything. Aldi's. It's called Aldi, just right? It's not Aldi's. Anyways, Jody, that's for you. For all. But we were in Aldi, and the lady in front of us didn't have the funds to complete her transaction. And Pastor Rick, you know, pulled his card out and swiped it and, you know, took care of it and went along his way. He was getting ready to leave. He was walking away. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to seize this opportunity. He just went in the corner, started praying with her and her family, and got into their boat. Pastor Rick didn't know where I was. He looked back. He was like, come on, man, we got to go. Oh, there's Pastor Nick caring for somebody. And it hit him like, man, I just met a need. Pastor Nick went further. But here's why that happened. I have a friend. He's a college professor. Troy Polamalu's wife was in his class. And they were out to dinner. And they saw Troy and his wife out to dinner as well. And nobody interrupted Troy and his wife during dinner. Not a soul. And Troy paid the whole restaurant's tab. The whole restaurant. And I heard this story. I said, what? Wow. It would be so cool to one day be able to do that. I can't wait to be able to do that. Man, that would be so amazing to be that rich, that wealthy. And God slapped me and said, start where you're at. I didn't have the money to pay for that lady's groceries in Aldi that day. But I could pray and care for her. Pastor Rick did what he could do. I did what I could do. Start where you're at. Don't buy into the lie of the enemy that you can't do what God's calling you to do. Be faithful with a little and he will give you more. Do what you can where you're at and more will be given to you. Little did I know that that verse is true. I started with a little. I just started serving a ministry. I just started sweeping. I just started showing up. I kept showing up. I kept showing up. And now I am where I am, and I will keep showing up. Church, don't buy into the lie that you can't be used by God. Start where you're at. Followers of Jesus will go into their world, and along the way, they will make a difference. When they see what Jesus sees, they look for open doors, and they invest the time. Those are going to pop up behind me on the screen. When you see what Jesus sees, you look for open doors and you invest your time. It's going to take time. Most of us think it's just going to take money. Time is way more valuable. It really is. Along the way, people are looking for something better in life. And we that know Jesus have what they need, and they don't even know or realize it. But we're scared to give it to them because we think that we have to give them chapter and verse, and we need to take them from this to like a theological genius in a week. We need to get them from this to be reading their Bible in a day and a half. No, we just need to show them Jesus. So what's the problem to solve today? That along the way, you're going to see people. You're going to see opportunities. You're going to see that you can see people as Jesus saw them. You can help people find their way back to God. And Jesus didn't see people as a project or a problem or a program or an event. It was a lifestyle that he lived. And along the way, people's lives got changed. Today's message is about a man who was rejected, despised, hated by people, and he just wanted to see Jesus. That's all he wanted. He just wanted to see Jesus. And Jesus saw this man, and Jesus saw an open door, and he stopped and he made time for him. That's the Jesus that we serve. Jesus wasn't too busy. Jesus didn't have to check his calendar. Jesus didn't have to look for an excuse to say yes or no. This is the type of story that we all love to hear. Everybody loves a redemption story. Everybody loves an underdog. I don't care if you like sports or not. Everybody loves Rudy, and not just Rudy because it's her birthday. I'm talking about Rudy from Notre Dame. Rudy, Rudy. Everybody loves it. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch it. It's about a little short guy. Everybody loves Remember the Titans, whether or not you like football or not. Everybody can get down with a little sunshine, the quarterback. Everybody loves underdog stories. Strong side, weak side. You know, Bruce and I, this is a side story. We watched that for Bruce's bachelor party. I had a big blow up screen put up in the backyard and we had a fire. We watched that. And this was after Bruce ate a 1.5 pound hamburger and we locked him in the back seat of a car and took him over speed bumps. His picture is still up in Max and Irma's. Actually, they took it down. They took it down. Context is everything. So we're going to talk about Luke 19, but first we're going to set it up with a little bit of what went on in chapter 18. Traditionally here, there's a famous man coming into town. They were setting up for all the town's people to be at a banquet. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem and he was passing through Jericho. The more famous a person was, the farther out of town they would go to greet him and usher him in. But all these people are waiting for Jesus to come in. They're all waiting. Everybody's waiting. Everybody's getting excited. Everybody knows that they're going to have this dinner for him. There's this blind man named Bartimaeus. He hears the crowd going by, and in Luke 18:36, he says, "Now hearing a multitude going by, he began to inquire about what this might be." It's Jesus going to Jericho. There's a dinner to be had, a person to be reached. Jesus is on his way. Let's pick up in Luke 19, 1 through 3. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. Everybody say, Zacchaeus!
Zacchaeus.
Say it with a little oomph. Let's go. Zacchaeus! We're going to get there soon. There's red letters for Zacchaeus soon. He was the chief tax collector in the region. He'd become very rich. Everybody say, very rich.
Very rich.
Very rich. Loaded. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So who was this Zacchaeus guy? Let's think about it for a second. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Now, you think about taxes, and you just think of this nice dude that works at the IRS, right? He sends out letters. He punches his time card. No, Zacchaeus was a tax collector, and tax collectors were literally hated. They were the scum of the earth because they were crooked. They were thieves. They were taxing people like beyond what you can imagine, like 30 to 40%, maybe even more in some ways. Tax collectors were considered to be like worse than prostitutes in some ways. People hated them. But I want to put on our Daniel Tiger imagination glasses for a little bit, okay? Let's imagine what Zacchaeus looked like. Can we all do that? We all got a mental picture of Zacchaeus? You there? Only two of you. Lori's there. Lori's and Jody. Lori left. And she's always sitting next to you, but she was here the first. You there? Some of you aren't, so I'm going to help you. Here goes a picture. This is what I think Zacchaeus may look like. Okay? That's what I think. But actually, I think he might dress differently. Okay? My Zacchaeus has on like a blue velour sweatsuit. Half zipped, like right here, okay? Big gold rope chain. Big gold rope chain with another gold rope chain layered under, okay? Two chains. He got two phones, too. I got two phones. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm from McKeesport. Okay, he got pinky ring, both hands, because he talks with his pinkies, okay? This is my Zacchaeus, okay? You can have that Zacchaeus. Still Danny DeVito, but blue velour sweatsuit, two chains, two phones, two pinky rings, big gold rope chain too, bracelet. No, gold nugget chain, bracelet. We there? Okay, this is Zacchaeus. Hated. This man wasn't down on his luck. He wasn't stuck. He wasn't broke. He wasn't addicted. He wasn't downtrodden. He wasn't a drunk. He wasn't somebody that was broken out of a relationship. He wasn't somebody that was beaten down by the world. Somebody like him seemed like he had everything. He had all the money. He had all the stuff. So many times, these are the types of people that we don't even look at because we're like, oh, they're so self-sufficient. They don't need Jesus. No, this man needed Jesus more than anybody. But we can often miss this person because we're not looking. Thank God Jesus didn't miss him. This man was wealthy, and he was wealthy at the expense of his countrymen. He was despised. He was a symbol of foreign oppression. He was rejected socially. He was regarded as a traitor politically, treated as the lowest class of sinner. This is the kind of man that we would all just walk right by, that we don't see, that we don't look for, that we don't invest time with. If we didn't know the backstory, we would all just think Zacchaeus is just a short little man that's up in a tree. Wee little man is he. Has a cute little song that you sang in Bible school. Bible college, as you say in a Bible college. Sunday school. Seriously, if you don't know the backstory, you would just think he was a wee little man up in a tree that Jesus called down. No, there's always a backstory. There is always a backstory, and we need to know the backstory. And when we don't know the backstory, we'll make the backstory up. As a hated man, it was not safe for Zacchaeus to be in the crowd. As a hated man, it was not safe for him to be around these people. They may have wanted to hurt him, kill him. But when Jesus was coming to town, Zacchaeus knew he needed to be there. But he was smart enough to not push his way to the front. He was smart enough to know that he needed to be away from the crowd a little bit, to be away from the people that hated him, to be away from the people that judged him. I have a question for a moment, church. Do we think for a moment that maybe, just maybe, people are staying away from church not because they don't want Jesus, but they're afraid of what the people in the church would think of them? They're staying away because they're afraid of the people. They're not afraid of Jesus. They're afraid of the people. So how do we change that? They need to meet the people first. They're not going to meet you in here. They're going to meet you out there. And you could hold their hand as they walk up those steps. You could ride that elevator with them. They need to meet the church outside before they come to the church inside these walls. I'm going to say that again. They need to meet the church outside before they experience the church inside these walls. This is not the church. This is a building that just so happens to be where the church meets once a week. The church meets Monday through Saturday everywhere else. There are people along the way, and all they want is to meet the real Jesus. And they may never read the Bible, but they'll read you. They will read you. And they got bookmarks. And they remember. I will tell you this right now. You're going to put a Jesus sticker on the back of your car? You better act like Jesus. I don't have a Jesus sticker on the back of my car. I'm not there yet. I'm being real with you. I'm not there yet. I'll let you know when I am. My wife will attest to it. I am not there yet. I'm not. I'm striving to get there. There's not a Bridge City sticker on the back of my car. There's one on my son's Jeep. It stays in the backyard. Now listen, I'm joking. I'll put one on my car this week. I will. It just got to be. Do we have black ones, Nate? It's got to match my car. It's got to. It's got to match. Luke 19:4. When we recognize there's, I'm not reading the verse yet, but turn there. When we recognize there's people along the way that just want to meet the real Jesus, it's powerful. What if we approach the world this way? What if we looked at the fact that there might be someone that God puts on our path today? What if we lived life knowing that God orders our steps? There's people along the way. 19:4, so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and he called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest at your home today. Jesus saw this opportunity differently. He saw a tiny, wee little man dressed in a blue velour jumpsuit with gold chains and pinky rings. You can have fun in church. You can have fun in church. There's nowhere in the Bible that says you can't. He saw it as an opportunity. He saw an open door. Jesus saw things differently. Now here, there's always a backstory, right? We can always dig a little bit deeper, right? We can. When you dig into the Bible, it's so much fun. You start to ask questions. Where, when, what, why, how? You don't just read. You got to dig. If you're going to read the same book your whole entire life, you got to make it interesting. You got to dig a little bit. What does this sycamore tree represent? Why was it a sycamore tree? What could that possibly mean? I'm so happy you all asked. Here we go. Sycamore trees were very dirty, messy. They drop all kinds of stuff. It's G-rated today. They drop all kinds of stuff. They're messy. They were usually planted outside of the town in ancient Jewish writings because they made such a mess. They were often referred to in some ancient writings of being 50 to 100 feet outside of the town limits. What do you think that means? Here we go. You ready? Maybe. Just maybe. There's going to be a lot of people that Jesus wants you to see. They're going to be outside of these walls in dirty, messy, stinky places. Places that you might not want to go. That they made their mess and they're living in it, and Jesus wants you to go and see them and get them out and say, come down. You know what I love? I love when people say, Pastor Nick was there. Pastor Nick hang out with them? Pastor Nick was around this person. Pastor Nick did a podcast this week that they cussed on. I love it. Listen. Jesus didn't hang out with sinners. Sinners hung out with Jesus. They wanted to be with him. There was something different about him. There's people outside of the walls in stinky, messy, smelly, messy, messy, messy places. And we need to go get them. Because they're scared of the people, not Jesus. So why didn't Zacchaeus press through? Why didn't Zacchaeus just push through the crowd in his blue velour jumpsuit? The stigma kept him out. The people kept him out. The fear kept him out. People on the outside telling him, that him as a tax collector needed to stay away. Here we go. Here's a Mon Valley quote of the century. You ready? If I walk into that church, it's going to catch on fire. You know how many times I've heard that? Let's try. We got extinguishers. If I walk into that church, it's going to fall down. Listen, we got steel beam trusses, baby. Come on in. Yeah, if I come in that church and get struck by lightning, power's gone out before, we kept on worshiping. Seriously, these are Mon Valley classics. We need to demonstrate love, not hate, to certain types of people who are in a lifestyle when we ask them to come and meet Jesus. I've heard pastors, leaders, people in the church act like they say, no, I can't go there. No, I can't do this. Here is the culture we're creating at Bridge City Church. You ready? You want to catch it? Truth and grace. We love everyone. Here's the part I want you to catch. And repentance of sin is available to everyone. That's the moment. We love everyone, and repentance of sin is available to everyone. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord. Whosoever. I am not the smartest man in the world, but I know that whosoever means everyone. Black, white, yellow, rich, poor, tan, pale, long hair, short hair, bald, nice beard, bad beard. Did you hear that laugh? I'm serious. Whosoever. Zacchaeus climbed up in a tree. And we're not just talking a tiny tree here, people. Where's my arborist? I think he was here. He dipped. His dad's here. Senior's here. Sycamore trees can grow anywhere between like 75 and 100 feet tall. They're not tiny trees, people. We're not talking about a little Japanese maple here. This is a legit tree. We're talking about a tiny wee little man climbing a real tree. He had to jump a little bit. And if he's really looked like Danny DeVito, it was a sight to see. Imagine that little meatball jumping up there. He risked looking foolish, embarrassment, a grown man, a wealthy man. Velour gets, that'll snag. Climbing a tree. He just wanted to see Jesus. When you get desperate to see Jesus, you will find him. And you know what? When you're desperate, you'll go back to where you first saw him. And sometimes where you first saw him was a person. Sometimes somebody will call you because you were the first place they saw Jesus. Because you may be the only Bible they ever read. But we want Jesus to fit into our schedule. Sometimes I believe the longer we serve Jesus, the more we think that no one wants to see him. Because we don't see him the way we used to. And we don't see people the way Jesus sees them. Tom Rachel, he launched the White Oak Campus. And he and his wife, Barb Rachel, who passed away. Barb just had such a heart to serve the community. And I remember being in the van, my wife and I, we were driving to serve the Under the Bridge ministry. And she had a revelation she was sharing with us. She said, you know, we go to church with Christians. We work at Christian companies. We go to connection group with Christians. We hang out with Christians. We don't know any non-Christians. We're going to change that. So they signed their two sons up for football as like an evangelistic goal. And they had two things happen. They got the opportunity to meet a whole lot of unsaved people, and their sons realized they really didn't like playing football. They just like hitting people. But people got prayed for. People met Jesus. People got invited to the local church. The goal was met. They got outside of their comfort zone. Jesus looked up. He saw an open door. Zacchaeus met Jesus that day. Zacchaeus became pure and clean just because Jesus saw beyond the labels, saw beyond what society said. Jesus knew his name. Jesus invited himself into his world. Jesus didn't wait for an invitation. Jesus was like, no, I'm coming over. Jesus went full on, I'm coming to your house. You know, one day I was really struggling. I was, you know, really struggling. I was having a rough day, just mentally and physically. This was a few months ago, and every older pastor within our church just showed up at our house one day. Pastor Keith Tusey showed up, Rob Benedetti showed up, all these people showed up, and I didn't call one of them, just praying. And Rachel was like, what's up with all these old pastors just showing up at the house, not calling, they didn't text, they just showed up. I was like, babe, I don't know. They just showed up. That's like old school Jesus right there. I'm coming over. I know you're in there. I see you. That's what Jesus did. I'm coming over. Get ready. You know what my wife would have done if she was up in that tree? She would have just fell out. She would have fell out of the tree. Zacchaeus, you know how I know Zacchaeus wasn't married? You know how I know this? He didn't have to text his wife first and say Jesus was coming over for dinner. That's funny. That's funny. I don't care what you say. That's funny. Nobody laughed at that. That's funny. That's a funny joke. That's a really good one. All the guys in the room, you know you would have the text. You'd be like, listen, hey, babe, I didn't know, but Jesus just said he's coming over. I ain't telling him no. If you would like to, you do it. He's in your heart. So what makes God's grace so amazing to us? It's not only that Jesus died for sinners, but the fact that he knew me, he knew you. He knew my name, he knew your name. He knew my mess, he knows your mess. and he still extended his life-changing restoration to me and to you. He knew the sycamore tree that you were in. Maybe you're still in it. Maybe you still like your tree and you don't want to come down yet. But listen, you're in Jesus' house today, and it's your choice whether or not you want to eat at his table. Along the way, we need to see what he sees. And we need to open the door that so many people want us to walk through. Jesus didn't stop for the banquet. Jesus didn't stop for the notoriety. Jesus didn't stop for the accolades he could have received. He stopped for the man that was a sinner that needed help. Someone that needed to know God. He saw the desperate condition of his heart. Luke 19, 6 through 7. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. He has gone to be a guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. Huh. Imagine Zacchaeus, all tiny in his blue jumpsuit, walking, Jesus, come with me. You know? And all the people were displeased. Zacchaeus was pumped. He was all jazzed up. But the people were not happy. Think about the joy and excitement that you had the day you met Jesus. Seventeen years later, I'm still living in that joy. It's never going away. It will not be robbed from me. The enemy's tried. He's still trying. He's a thief. He tries all the time, but his tricks don't change. He's pretty stupid. Zacchaeus is a model of how to receive Jesus. He seeked after him with real effort. He humbled himself. No matter how sinful or hated you are, Zacchaeus was invited by name. Imagine the crowd. How many people were on that street, below that tree? You think while Zacchaeus was waiting for Jesus to walk by, he was like dropping stuff out of the tree, like. You think? I would have. He was tiny, right? Without delay, he got out of that tree. Without delay, he took Jesus to his house. He didn't say, you know what? Let me clean up first. I gotta get home and open my Bible and put it on the table. You know, I got some dishes in the sink. I had a busy day yesterday. No, the house was open. He let Jesus into his life, into his home. He met Jesus joyfully, despite what others said. And repentance and restitution happened. The people grumbled. The people were ticked because they only knew Zacchaeus for who he was. Jesus knew Zacchaeus for who he was going to be. How does this happen in our lives? You know who the people are the hardest to see you as a changed and transformed person are? Your family. I'll never forget after I got saved, I had my Bible in the back of my car, and my sister saw it. She said, what are you, a Bible thumper now? I didn't even know what that meant. Like, what does that mean? I jump around like. I don't even know what that means. No, I don't thump around with my Bible. I ain't a bunny. It's a big bunny. They knew the old Nick. 20 years of him. It's hard for your family to remember or forget, but Jesus forgets all. Everything. Luke 19, 8 through 10. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord. If I've cheated people on their taxes, I'll give them back four times as much. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. Listen, Jesus knocked on the open door. Zacchaeus then received Jesus. And then Zacchaeus had a relationship with Jesus. He was restored to the pureness that God had intended. And then he instantly demonstrated the fruits of repentance by honoring God, honoring the law, and returning what he had stolen. He met the requirements of the law, if not more. Repentance took place. Zacchaeus was not only joyful to be forgiven, he was joyful to repent, and he was joyful to move forward. Talk about a changed and transformed life. We call it crossing the bridge at Bridge City Church. Salvation, deliverance, preservation, God's rescue, which delivers believers out of danger and into safety. It's a moment where we receive everything that God has for us. Now I want to take a moment, because there's a whole world out there full of Zacchaeuses in their mess. And we can think, how do we go and do this? We complicate things, church. It's really, really, really simple. Are you ready? We're going to answer some questions. They're really, really easy questions. How many points do you get on your SAT for putting your name and your address right? It's like 500, right? I think it's 500. Maybe it's 4. I don't know. I just took the SATs to see if I just wanted to take them. I think I got like a 1080, too. I never used them, but anyways, I did. Long story. Where do you live? Where do you live? 1019 Fawcett Avenue, McKeesport, PA 15132. It's where I live. I don't hide it. I'm not scared. Come see me. I got cameras. Ring the doorbell. It'll record you. Do a funny dance. It'll be fun. If you come over, call first. Text. Let me know. Rachel's so nervous right now that you're all coming over today. And I'm so excited. I'm like, everybody's coming over. I'm so excited. Rachel's like, oh, I got to get home clean. We're having a party. Everybody's coming over. They're coming to our house today. Listen. You start praying for your street, things will change. My brother and sister-in-law, they're closing on their house in 8 days. They're buying a new house. They're moving. They live behind us on Franklin Street. I'm excited they're buying a new house. I'm sad they're moving. They're moving like a block and a half down the road. They really are. It's like a block and a half. But we've been going to war for these streets, for our neighborhood. They're moving one street down, a block and a half down the road. But we've been praying for our streets, for Franklin and Summit and Fawcett. That house is going to be for rent, and we're filling that. I'm going to have some legit neighbors. If you know anybody who needs a house for rent, come see me first. I'm filling that house. I'm going to have some cool neighbors because my son loves peeking over that fence and saying hi to his neighbors. But we're believing for that neighborhood, and it's changing. Half of Fawcett Plain comes to church. We're not going to stop till all Fawcett Plain comes because we're praying for where we live. What do you do? Where do you work? Where do you go to school? Who do you work with? Start praying for those people. You know what's amazing? Your cranky coworker might change a little bit if you pray for them. Your attitude towards your cranky coworker might change a little bit if you start praying for them. You know, a wise pastor said, if you haven't been ticked off by something that your pastor said recently, I question what he's preaching. So there. Write out your circles. Who do you hang out with? What are you a part of? You a part of the city council? You a part of the school board? Some of us need to be a part of the school board of McKeesport and North Huntington, Norwin. You know, never mind, I'm not even going to get into it. Norwin's not even a place. It's North Huntington and Irwin put together. Did you know that? It blew my mind when I learned that. Pray for your community. Are you a part of any community organizations? Pray for those things. If not, become a part of them. Be a part of a committee. The PTA. You know, when I was a little kid, I said my mom had to go to a PMS meeting. Because I heard my mom talking about that and the PTA in the same sentence, and I was like eight. And I didn't know what either of them were, and I said she had to go to a PMS meeting to my aunt. My aunt was like, oh, that's... I didn't know they had those. Who are your people? Who are the people that you're doing life with? And who are the people that you're doing life with that don't know Jesus yet? Pray for them. Pray for them. You'll be amazed at what God does. And when those people meet Jesus, and it might not be through you, it's amazing to put a check mark next to their name. Put a line through their name because you know that they're going to be in heaven with you. Revelation 3. The people I love, I call to account, prod and correct and guide so that they live at their best. Up on your feet, about face, run after God. I'm poking and prodding. Go do it. Go. It's simple. I know I'm an extreme extrovert. I get it. I understand. But introverts need Jesus too. So if you're an introvert, have a little introvert meeting on how to share Jesus with introverts. My wife's holding an introvert meeting right here. No, you're 51% extrovert. That's a majority. I'm not picking on introverts. I'm just saying you can do it too. Kim's so mad at me right now too. She's like, go do it. Run after God. I'm poking, I'm prodding, but go do it. Look at me. I stand at the door. I knock. If you hear me, call. Open the door. I'll come right in and sit down to supper with you. Church, if you're here today, if you're still up in your sycamore tree
If you're still in your mess, if you're still stuck in your stuff, I told you I had your attention for the next 40 minutes. I took 8 more. But here's the moment. If you're still stuck in your tree and you climbed up there just so you could see Jesus and experience Him today, He's been knocking on your heart. Here's your moment. Are you going to open the door or not? Are you going to have that moment at the cross where you repent of the things that you've done and the things that have been done to you? Are you going to have that moment where you accept the forgiveness of the cross and ask Him to lead you into your future? Are you going to have that Zacchaeus moment? If you want that moment, it's scary because of not because of Jesus, but because of the people that are around you. But the people that are around you, really, they don't matter because they just want to rejoice with you. So if that's you today, just slip your hand up because we want to pray with you. We want to encourage you. We want to help you move forward in your walk with Jesus. Maybe you've come out of your tree before, but you climbed back up and you want to rededicate your life to Jesus. Just slip your hand up to heaven. Anyone at all today? Amen. I see that hand. Amen. Anyone at all? Anyone else? Thank you so much for what you've done today, what you're doing, and what you're going to do. God, I thank you for the opportunity that we have now to go into our world, for the opportunity that we have to look beyond ourselves. Use us to walk through those open doors and to invite people into a relationship with you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Listen.